Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
All right, guys, real quick before we get started, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. We are now releasing the show a day early over on our Patreon. So Tuesdays, the show will be live. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. We have a bunch of other stuff over there for you guys to check out. Check it out. If it's something you want to do, do it. We appreciate every single one of you Patreons. And enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today's special guest, we have Casey Lee. Hey, Casey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Good.
So I'm super excited to chat with you because I think your work is like amazing. I've been obsessed lately. But for the listeners who may not know who you are, can you kind of give a background on yourself and how you got started in photography?
Yeah. So my name's Casey Lee. I'm originally from Dallas, Texas. I now live in Orange County as of
about
8 months ago. I got started in photography in 2006 on a whim of asking my parents for a Canon Rebel for Christmas. And
cool.
Yeah, I've just kind of been shooting ever since. Since then, started with really cheesy stuff that I've made sure I think is gone.
it's in the vault.
Yeah.
And then pretty quickly moved into music, dabbled in weddings for a couple of years, but I really have kind of found a home in photographing music and all things around it, portraits, live stuff, touring, and then occasionally doing some bicycle racing and taking pictures doing that.
That's cool. I feel like the Canon Rebel is like everybody's gateway drug.
Oh yeah, that was definitely like the gateway drug.
The perfect like introduction. Those cameras are so nice and light and small, and the film and the digital ones I think are great. So that's awesome.
It's funny. I was team Nikon.
I know, it's like either team. I was like, I'm a Canon girl, like, which is super corny to say anyway, but like, yeah.
It's funny.
Did you go to school at all for photography, or just kind of like self-taught?
Pretty much 100% self-taught. And I actually went to school for mechanical engineering and mathematics.
Not even close to arts.
No, complete opposite end of the spectrum. I took one photo class as a filler with a great professor at my university. That was pretty much it. And that was just I needed to satisfy an art credit and wanted to have a reason to shoot and develop a bunch of slide film. So
I just thought it was funny that you took an art elective just to fill a spot and then ended up like, look here where we are now. Mm-hmm. It's just funny how those things work.
Yeah. I've told the story on the show before where there was in community college, there was one darkroom class. And I remember going to register for class with my dad, and that's all I wanted to talk about was like, I know what I want. I want to do the darkroom class. And they were like, okay, whoa. And they only had one. So once I finished it, I was like, can I do it again? And they're like, no, you already got the credit. Like, you can't do it again. But then I went to photography school. So that way better. But yeah, that one elective.
Yeah.
So what brought you to where you are now?
Yeah.
Like, how did you, like, you're shooting film and you're doing the concerts and how did it all come about?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I guess that's a pretty loaded question.
No, it's just I'm trying to remember how I got where I am. I think it was I used to be on like a paintball forum, and there was a sub forum of that forum where there was a sub thread that just constantly went. It was just photography and it was photo stuff, and it had nothing to do with paintball which is how I landed there. And someone started talking about medium format film, and in particular, Mamiya RB67s, and mm-hmm. how they're super affordable, really good, like, way to get into it, cool, like, bellows focusing. And I'm like, oh, this is sick. So again, I think I was a sophomore in college, if that, and I asked my parents, I'm like, hey, for my birthday, can I get one of these? And they're like, oh yeah, sure. So we ordered like
that's smart.
The cheapest RB67 kit we could find on KEH, and that came to the door, and I started taking it around with me to some friends' shows. They're small bands that have since disappeared, but were hugely influential in me growing up. Yeah, I did that for a while, and eventually I stopped using that RB67 because I kept having weird little like leaf shutter issues, and mm-hmm. I was just buying new lenses and not getting things repaired, and just being like, well, I have a new cool paperweight today.
Right. Worst.
So eventually I love the 6x7 format. I tried a Mamiya 645 for a while, and it was the worst. I don't know if it was just me and being used to like big old 6x7 ground glass and focusing on that, then going to a 645 and trying to focus that. It was really, really cool. I liked the system, but I just didn't do well with it. I constantly misfocus on things that should have been super easy. So I was thankfully within the return window, returned that, got a Pentax 67 off of eBay for like $400, which I think is like unheard of now.
Yeah, it is, because I've been looking now.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I got my 672 body for what a 6x7 goes for now. And
oh, wow.
Wow. It's amazing to me, but and then I fell in love with that 6.7 format again, and I started using it to take portraits. And then I dragged it to Dallas Stars games and would go shoot warm-ups on some Ilford 3200 with that 105 2.4. And just like, all that. And now I'm using that 6.7 whenever I can. And then I've kind of supplemented it with some 35 millimeter Canon bodies and a Leica. And it's just a great piece of kit, and yeah, I think that's kind of how I got to where I am camera wise, at least.
Yeah.
That's funny, because when you hear other people's stories, it's like I feel like 75% of the time my story kind of intertwines mm-hmm. with their story, and it's like that was the RB67 is what got me. Yeah, I shot some like 35 millimeters here and there, point and shoots, and some random SLRs that I got at, you know, Goodwill and stuff like that. But once I got the RB67, it kind of changed everything, mm-hmm. and I literally toted that thing everywhere with me. It was fun.
Yeah.
Just a good camera.
It's a great camera. It's just
and
like,
it's just so cheap still to this day. Yep. It is like you can get one for a couple $100 with a lens and a back and, you know, just be good to go.
Yeah, it's a great little, it's kind of like the Rebel. It's a great little gateway drug into film and medium format film. It's so easy to use. The only downfall is that it's like lugging around four cameras to carry one body and a lens.
Yeah.
Man, it is a bummer. And I never had a strap for mine either. Oh. So I just always like literally carried it everywhere. And I started just using like a book bag too as like my camera bag. And I never could find like an insert that it would fit in because it's just so awkwardly shaped. And but you know, all those little funny things aside, it's still just a great beast.
Yeah. So Casey, have you been touring with bands or do you kind of do one-off shows or?
Mostly one-off shows. I toured with a Australian metal band called I Killed the Prom Queen for two kind of short runs, once in the winter of 2014, right before right after Thanksgiving. That was my first touring experience. And
how was that?
It was a lot of fun and some of like the best memories ever.
That's what they say about tour. It's like it's rough, but it's like the best time.
Yeah, and it's given me some of the best friends ever. I still talk to most of the guys, and even though most of them are Australia, one of them actually lives like 10 minutes away from me now, which is awesome. I see him every now and again, and it was a lot of fun. We went the run I did was just from LA back to Dallas. So we did up in LA and then San Diego, Mesa, Arizona, an off day in New Mexico, Oklahoma City, and then Dallas. So it was just, I think, 5 dates, and it was just an absolute blast. A lot of fun. Now it's mostly just one-off shows. I work a full-time engineering gig here in Orange County, and that's how the bills get paid.
Right. Mm. We know all about that.
Oh, yeah.
So you're just shooting film, right, on these gigs?
If it's touring, I'm supplementing with digital.
Okay.
Because normally they're wanting and needing content
every day. Yeah. That's one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because I used to shoot a lot of bands back in the day, and I've been working with this artist, and I shot his like first day on tour. They're doing like a three week run, and you know, they want him like the next day. And I was like, you know, everybody's like, why don't you shoot any film? I'm like, well, I got to get it, you know, I got to get it so they can have it. But yeah, I would love to shoot like live stuff, you know, on film.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's just the, like you said, the turnover struggle. Like, It's nice when I'm shooting like a friend's band and I'm like, yo, Can I come out and just shoot film tonight? And they're like, oh yeah, sick. And I shoot it, send it off to Indie, have them process, scan, and then get it back to them in a couple weeks. And it's not too bad. It seems like most of the bands that I've been shooting, someone in the band shoots film or is into photography as like a way to pass time. And it's that helps, because then like hanging out, we nerd out about film stuff just like we're doing right now, and talk about cameras and film stocks and why I don't shoot T-Max and I only shoot Tri-X. And it's good times. And it's crazy. There's actually a dude out with, I think, Neck Deep right now. And I think he's shooting film on the road and processing it and scanning on the road. Oh,
wow. Wow. That's awesome. Like,
self-developed, self-scan. Name is Elliot Ingham. And yeah,
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah, I was like, for sure, we'll be looking him up.
Yeah, it's Elliot X Ingham on Instagram. And he's a solid photographer. And I think it's him who's doing it. But I'm not certain.
Yeah, I wish so this artist, like, they can't bring me on tour this time. So I'm hoping like somewhere in the future I'll get a chance to go, because I'm having some serious like FOMO in the sense of like, man, I could be, you know, documenting the whole thing and like doing rad portraits and like the guys and stuff. So it's like a super bummer that I'm not out there with them, because I just know like how I would shoot it, you know, like I would it's just like, got my fingers crossed, hopefully soon. But yeah,
man, I think the whole like the developing thing, like while on the road, is definitely possible. I mean, you would just need a little setup, you know, kind of just take the mono bath with you. I mean, you'd have to be doing black and white probably if to have that quick of a turnaround.
Yeah.
But just take like take a mono bath with you, some rolls of black and white. They make light boards that are paper thin.
Sure.
And just get a macro lens for your Canon and boom, like there you go. You could be posting film photos within 5 hours.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
Now I want to do that.
I know, right?
I want to be that guy that's like, hey, guys, check this out. Yeah. Look what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, Casey, I like love your portrait stuff.
Oh, thank you.
By the way. Same here. Yeah. Same
Do you just like grab people as...
That's kind of how it started. I was covering a festival back in Texas. It was South by So What. Now it's just So What. Music Fest. It was in Dallas for a really long time. I think they had it in Houston this past spring. And I would just shoot for the festival. And as a part of that, I would be roaming backstage in between sets or in the middle of the day and just, grabbing whoever I saw. And
I love that.
Trying to, you know, just pay attention to where the sun is. And most of our front of house tents at that fest and our monitor tents and the gear tents were all white.
Mm-hmm.
So it made it really, really easy to just be like, okay, hey, can we go over to this tent that's like 100 feet away because it's in the shade, whereas this one that we're right next to is like getting blasted right now.
Right. It's too hot in there anyway.
Yeah. And it just made getting started super easy. And I got a lot of really cool artists that were very, very chill and like very down to earth and willing to just like let me sit there and snap a couple of film photos in the middle of the day in between songs or whatever, or right before their set. And then that kind of progressed into me reaching out to artists beforehand and being like, hey, I'm working on doing all this stuff. Would you be cool if I came by for like 15 minutes? We can do some portraits and then I'll send them over, get your approval before I post anything, et cetera, et cetera. And
that white background is money.
It really is. And I picked up this, like, I think it's called like an X-Drop backdrop. That's got a big like felt blanket style white backdrop, and then I've got a black one for it too, and you just throw it up, it gets it nice and tight, and now I can take that anywhere. Perfect. And be able to shoot at venues that otherwise I'd be stuck with, like parking lot, brick wall, or trying to find somewhere in the venue, which is always a nightmare when you have
it's the worst lighting usually too.
And if you can find somewhere where you can get some natural light, generally you're putting yourself like right by where kids are lining up to come in. And it's not exactly where the artist wants to be right before their set.
Definitely not.
No. I get the all shucks feeling when, because I mean, I used to play music for the longest time and saw so many awesome shows and played with amazing bands and stuff. And I just kick myself for not having a camera with me at all. I mean, I had some friends that did some, you know, old Hi8 video stuff and whatnot, but man, I just wish I would have had my camera with me, especially talking about, and like looking over, I was like looking over your Instagram and your website and stuff, and it's like, oh man, there's Anthony Green. Like there's, it's like we saw him like the, you know, like 3 years ago, whatever. And it's just crazy. Like I wish I, bums me out.
Yeah, he honestly has been one of like the most chill. Every time like I would see him at that festival, he would always be very, very cool about stopping and taking a photo. So super stoked to be able to get a couple of portraits of him along the way too.
Yeah, for sure. He's the best.
So, Casey, did it take you a while to get the hang of shooting film at live shows? Because for me, it's like depending on, you know, you usually get three songs unless you're like with the artist and you get more. But like, I'm so like, I have to get it mindset that I don't, like, I always have my film camera like strapped up, but I'm like, I just don't pick it up because I'm like, I got to get what I know I got to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's it has definitely taken some practice to just kind of know the tool and know what it's going to do and what situations and like how to, like, it's not like a DSLR where I can be like, okay, cool, this lighting changed drastically and I need to change my exposure, and I can look at it and be like, oh yeah, I need to change it that much. It's you know how it is, like you're shooting and it goes from being like perfect so front lighting to almost darkness. Pitch black. And you're kind of stuck trying to just eyeball it and guess. And that's kind of what it's turned into, is like I've kind of figured out without using the meter so much what I can get away with. I'll pre-meter like the first couple frames with my DSLR to just kind of do that Polaroid type check. And then I'll set the Pentax and the Leica up however I want them for that. And at that point, I just kind of commit and I don't really pull the DSLR back out.
That's so awesome. If I saw you in the pit and you had that Pentax 6.7, I would have been like, oh my God, man, no way. That's so, like, that just blows my mind. That's so cool.
It started off kind of on a whim. I took that RB67 to, it was a tour with Under Oath.
I've shot them before.
The Devil Wears Prada and Seosin. I think there was someone else on the bill, but those are the three I remember. And Bo from Seosin had just kind of got in this like really cool pose, and I had the RB67. And he was standing still long enough for me to just rack that focus and just dial it in. And I grabbed that frame and process scanned. I think every other frame from that roll was just trash. But
Listen, if you got that one money shot, like.
And I
see. Wait. One second, Chris.
Yeah.
Just listen to yourself right there. You just said if you get that one, it makes it all worth it.
I know. I should just.
And just as Jonathan Canales said when we had him on the show, he said that digital photography is killing people's confidence. And
yeah, I mean,
you know how to shoot photos.
I know.
You know this stuff. You need to just stop.
Yep.
I mean, I get it. For the quick turnaround, digital is, man, it is awesome. And it is awesome for art and all kinds of stuff. But like, don't let that like, don't let confidence be the reason why you don't shoot film. Like, I went to go see one of my favorite bands a couple months ago, and like, I didn't take it, I wasn't worried about it. And like, not that I was using it for anything, but like, I knew I was going to have some awesome shots.
I think it's just like, because it's like a paying client too. So it's like,
then it gets tough. And like, it's that was kind of one of my big things that I was really fortunate with when I did that Run on Warped Tour, was that who I was out with was cool with me shooting film as long as I got digital stuff along with it.
Yeah. That's why I wish I was like, maybe if they take me next time, everybody keep your fingers crossed that I get to go on tour with this guy, because I definitely am inspired now to just do it, you know?
Yeah.
You said, if once you get like, I can shoot a bunch of digital, but if you get that one money shot on film, it's like, okay, cool. I don't care about the rest of the role because I got the one that I want and the one that is going to like satisfy me creatively.
Yep. And like, if you know how to shoot a show, shooting a show on film and shooting a show on digital are the same thing.
Yeah,
it's just
true.
You have to be a little bit more patient, and you have to trust and know, okay, like, I don't need to follow the singer around because he'll be back over here in a second. Let me do this instead.
Right.
And just knowing... it just shooting a show like you normally would, but doing it with film. And like I said, you don't get 8 frames a second. You get like 0.75, but you don't need that 8 frames.
Yeah, you're right.
Because you're just waiting for the one shot. Like, so there's one of my... So the bow photo was the thing that got me hooked. And I have an 11x14 darkroom print of that a friend made for me in college. And that's... top notch, one of my favorite photos ever that I've taken, and it still is. When Seosin got back together with Anthony singing, I wound up shooting a few of those shows, once on their like first run, and then 2 shows when they did Rockstar's Taste of Chaos revival a couple summers back. And one of my favorite photos from that run of shows was shot on my Leica, and it was just like, I can't believe I just got that. And that's what that's with a tool that I'm still would not say I'm that familiar with. I love shooting with it, but with music, it's so hard to shoot something that's not just centered and like trying to compose with that rangefinder in the dark with backlighting. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit trickier versus the Pentax. But I mean, I have a bunch of photos that I really like that I've shot on digital, but I can picture in my head all the film shit that I've shot that it's just like, I remember exactly taking that photo. And where I was and what city it was in or whatever. Like,
that's so cool.
There's more tied to it. There's more attached to it.
Yeah.
Can I ask you one more question? Do you change like the role during, in the middle of like,
yeah.
Or wow. Yeah. I can just picture like such a rush, like being, you know, cause you only have that 3 song limit and that's amazing.
I try not to, but
yeah,
I try to time each, essentially take like 3 rolls of Ilford 3200 into the photo pit per band. I'll pre-tear 2 of the rolls wrappers so that I'm ready to just pull the roll out.
Right.
Have the roll loaded before I even get in there. And then I try to time it to where I'm making my film changes between songs just to try and maximize what I'm getting.
Right.
But sometimes you can't do that because the whole idea that first 3 of the set is just bang, 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 just blast through them and keep the energy going, and to sit and be in. And then you're doing it in the dark, like you said, with a little bit of a rush going of like, I have to get this done now. I can't drop this roll.
Right.
So yeah, it's tricky to get it done, but especially with the Pentax, I'm definitely changing rolls mid set.
Wow,
man. See, that's why that's like one of the only reasons like a modular system would be better, kind of like an RZ or something, or RB or whatever. Just something you can just like throw a couple backs in like a fanny pack and just like pop.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But
And that's what kind of pulled me to trying the 645 when I was trying it, was that I could have backs loaded. And it handled like a DSLR, and it was smaller, and it had faster lenses, and I couldn't focus it to save my life. So it didn't really matter. So that was the
big
bummer.
That's crazy how that is. Yeah. Yeah. Some cameras you just kind of like you blend.
Yeah.
It's like a, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, like a communion or something.
Yeah. Almost. I was going to say, like, the camera picked you. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I've had cameras like that where, you know, just I couldn't nail focus. I just couldn't get it. And it really sucked because, like, some of them were really awesome cameras. And it's like, mm-hmm. I hated letting go of them. But, mm-hmm. you know, there's no point if you're not. If it's not working, don't force yourself to do it.
Let somebody else enjoy it who like bonds with it or whatever, you know?
Yep. Yeah. I always feel like that kind of stereotypical film guy when I start waxing nostalgic about like the Pentax 67 and my RB 67. Yeah. It's like, I still keep that RB around. I haven't picked it up, but for when we moved across the country, because I needed to move it from one table to another now. But I still hang on to it because like I'm kind of bonded with it. I don't want to let it go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Man, I sold mine. I sold my first one and regretted it so bad. Like I bought another one and I will never let go of that one. And even like you said, it's just literally sitting on my camera shelf looking at me right now. And it's like, are you ever going to use me again?
Yeah. Like, especially when a camera like makes its way back to you. It's like, you can't let it go.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No, I refuse. I will not. I don't care if I never use it again. Right. It is not leaving.
I feel like I had a lot more questions for you, Casey. I guess we could talk about like what are some of your favorite film stocks to shoot in the pit?
Tri-X, if I can get it as far as like lighting goes. Of course, when it's when a show is in a venue at night, that's not really an option. And then I pretty much always go Delta 3200. Mm-hmm. It's one, there's just so much latitude with it and you can kind of get away with not jacking with your exposure in the middle of the set and just like set it on like 1/250th, 1/500th and wide open, and you'll pretty much be okay as long as you don't like time it to where you're taking a frame and like the dark side of a strobe.
You'll
pretty much nail it. And then when I was doing Warped, it was pretty much always Tri-X and Portra 400. I don't shoot color too much. Even when I can, I definitely lean more towards shooting black and white.
Yeah.
And then I've dabbled a little bit with the CineStill stuff and I love it, but I can't get a hold of it ever.
Yeah, I know.
It is sold out all the time. Yeah. I was just after we had Shannon on, I was like, I'm going to go get some CineStill.
I know, me too. Me too.
I tried to grab some 800T. Where was I? I was up in San Francisco for a bike race and walking around and went to Sammy's in San Francisco, and they didn't have any 800T. And I was like, well, that does me no good. Looks like I'm shooting black and white tonight.
Yeah. That's one of those things though too. I feel like we've talked about it a bunch of times on the show of like when you kind of find your thing, like, you know, black and white, Delta, Tri-X, whatever it is, you don't even have to think about it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't even think about it. It's like, I know what I'm going to get with this film stock tonight or today or with this session or whatever it is. I used to bounce around all the time. Like, I'm sure like we all do when we first get back into shooting film and all that stuff. Like, you just want to try everything because it's new and exciting and it's fun. But I feel like the real fun and the real like enjoyment out of this thing, like, really starts when you kind of have your Tri-X or Chris, your Portra or, you know, just like once that happens, then it's just like, oh, it's on. Now I'm pretty much limitless. I can do whatever I want to do now. Like,
and for me lately, I've been really trying to like zone in on whatever that is, like whatever my style is, you know, like I used to shoot portraits all day, every day. And then, you know, I moved to California and I've been shooting like palm trees and beaches and stuff like that. But I'm like getting back, like portraits is what really like started it all for me. So I'm like really consciously trying to like, you know, like you, Casey, like at a show, like just starting to pull people, you know what I mean? And just like I'm been really like focusing on like whatever my style is and trying to like zone in on it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
And that, it's so hard to do too. Like, you can lose track of it really easily, whatever that style is. And like, I feel like I'm still searching for a style because like I like the pictures I make, but every now and again I'm like, is it original? And then I have to remind myself, like, who cares? Like, that's just how you take a picture.
Yeah.
Like, none of this is really all that original anymore. And
no, I was just going to say, for definitely not.
And it's like, just take the pictures you like to take and take them the way you like to take them. And so for me, that's generally a very like Avedon-esque portrait is I think what I tend to lean towards is like just put them on a simple backdrop and just focus on them and don't worry and about you know, anything else.
It is really working for you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Because you use Indie, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I know they post your stuff quite often and I'm like, is this Casey guy? I was, yep. I was right. Like,
yeah. Indie has been my lab pretty much since day one. I dabbled with a couple other labs just to try them out. And I can't beat like being Facebook friends with the person who's doing my scan corrections.
Right?
I shot a wedding in Australia for one of the guys from Prom Queen.
Oh, no way. That's awesome.
It was an incredible, incredible experience and one I'm so thankful that I got to do. But as they were going through the scans, Lily sent me a Facebook message like, hey, do you want this to look like this or this?
The best.
And
like, nice. The best.
That's awesome.
Because it was just kind of a weird colored scene. And it was just a great thing to be asked and have to save me a little bit more work on the back end of like having to go back and do white balance over again. And they're just the best over there. Like, I love working with them. And it's been forever since I sent them film. And I just sent a big old fat bag of stuff that I'm honestly not sure what was in it. I just know that I had a bunch of, I still do have tons of rolls laying around that I'm trying to work through a backlog of. Because with the move, I just kind of had to put all that by the wayside and focus on the job and then doing the bicycle thing and like training all the time. I just haven't really had much chance or really put thought into it. But like, as my like racing season is winded down, I'm like, I need to get back to like satisfying this part of me also.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Taking care of the creative stuff, not just the competitive itch. Cause there's a few things that tend to drive me and
You got to hold on to that.
Exactly. And it's been cool, like going to races and like taking pictures there and seeing friends who like race, but are also photographers and we can nerd out about bikes and cameras. And it's a very different scene, but it's kind of very similar to the music scene all at the same time.
Yeah. I love when the passions cross like that, you know, that's cool.
No, it's awesome.
So are you still shooting a lot of weddings?
No.
No. I think because I saw on your website it was like, I do this and this and this and the occasional weddings.
That's pretty much how it is. Like, if it kind of takes me being asked by someone who like I really would have to want to shoot the wedding because it's like, this isn't my lifeblood. I love doing it when it's like I said, a cool wedding or a friend or something like that, or I'm going to Australia to see a friend get married and I'm honestly going more as a guest than a photographer. I just happen to be taking photos at the same time. Like I much prefer the other stuff, but I do it every now and again, but I honestly don't get asked that much anymore, which I'm very okay with. it's a lot of stress and it's a lot of like lugging crap around and
it's a lot of work. Just,
And I'd honestly rather spend my Saturdays riding my bike or going to a gig. Like, if anyone wants to hire me to shoot photo like their wedding, by all means, but like I it's just not it's not my passion, and I'd rather see my friends who are super passionate about doing wedding stuff doing the weddings instead.
Because I've said it too before a bunch of times on here. I dabbled in that whole wedding sphere, not like my own personal stuff, but just like assisting. And and it's just not for me. I found out very quickly. Like, again, like I love being like the nephew or the friend that has a camera with. And, you know, I'll grab a couple good snaps that, you know, the photographers aren't going to see because I'm like in the guts of the wedding. So it's fun being that person, but I don't ever want to do that again. No desire whatsoever.
Yeah. Like I said, it has to be the right thing. Like, and for me, like after the wedding in Australia, there just hasn't been the right one that has come along and like worked out. Like there have been some where I've gotten inquiries for it. I'm like, yeah, I want to shoot this. And then they're like, oh, like our friend just freed up and like, he's going to come out and do it now. And I'm like, yo, like, that guy's a legend, like, by all means. Like, I'm not upset by this at all. I would have loved to have done it, but I get it all at the same time. So it just has to be the right scenario and the right group of people for it to work out. Because I definitely know, like, when I have done weddings, like, I take on a lot when I do it, and like trying to help them make their day run smooth, because sometimes like stuff just happens, and most people haven't been on the inside of a dozen weddings in their life. They've generally been on the inside of the one wedding that they're currently living through, and they're not really sure what to do next. And sometimes you got to kind of do that step in and help thing. And that's something I tend to do a lot in my life, is that step in and help. It doesn't really matter what it is.
It's a good quality, though.
Yeah,
it's a
exactly.
good
quality.
There's definitely worse qualities, but it leads to a lot of drain on me, like, physically.
Yeah, I believe it.
We'll be right back with a listener question for Casey right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk also comes from Polaroid Originals. Go to PolaroidOriginals.com and use the offer code AnalogTalk10 at checkout to receive 10% off your next purchase.
All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from @crown.photography. And he asks, what is the one photo you're most proud of capturing till this day? Yeah, I want to know, too. That's a good question.
Yeah, that's...
I feel bad for you, because that's a very hard one.
Yeah. It's
which one of your kids is your favorite?
Yeah. Like, I'm honestly scrolling through my Instagram, because there are so many favorites. Like, I've taken recently, or like, and I haven't really reflected on my own work in a really long time. Mm-hmm. So, there's so many for so many different reasons that I love. You know, like, it's just,
well, maybe like your best or your most proud of portrait and concert shot or right. something.
Yeah.
We can kind of
expand on that.
A little easier.
Tighten it up a little bit. God, one of my favorite portraits is probably, there's two that stand out a lot. One was when I was on Warped Tour. We were in Nashville, and the morning before, it was just dumping rain all freaking morning. And right before the band set, Jonah came up to me. He's like, hey, we're gonna do this in the mud. And I'm like, excuse me?
Oh my god, what?
And so played, I think, maybe the first half of the first song, and immediately Jonah and Kev get off stage, leave the barrier, and go out into the middle of this just mud pit that has opened up in front of the monster stage.
Whoa.
And they just start running and stomping, and it's incredible. And at the end of the set, of course, they're both just absolutely covered and caked in mud. And
Wait, that's the is that the shot that's the, like, the main paint?
I think it's the first one.
Love that shot. That is so good.
Thank you. Yeah, that's definitely one of the favorite portraits, because there's just the mud adds so much depth to it. And then the light was perfect. And this made me fall in love with Portrait 800. I mean, holy crap. The colors were just amazing from the get off the scanner.
Yeah.
Like, when I got them to, like, I barely had to touch them. I just did a little bit of contrast tweaks here and there. And I was just like, yep, this picture's done.
Wow.
Like, that.
Oh, that's so good.
That is one. And then the other favorite portrait is probably one of a guitarist of a band called Stick to Your Guns. And used to be in Evergreen Terrace, and singer Casey Jones, Josh James, and also in 18 Visions. And he was in town with 18 Visions, and hit him up. And there's just a portrait of him on a black background that I did outside of the venue. The light just worked out perfectly. And it's just like a lot of depth, a really cool vibe, and just one that I really like. Yeah, I mean, pretty much... picking a favorite portrait is hard.
I'm trying to, like, rack my brain of mine, and I don't think I'd be able to do it.
Do you have any favorite concert shots?
I've got a couple.
That's probably harder.
Yeah,
there's like a lot.
There's there have been a couple of Circus Survive and Anthony, just because there's not many people with the energy that he has on stage.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to capture, but it's also very easy to capture.
I was just going to say that.
It goes both ways. Like it's so easy to, when you get the photo, that it's going to be right. But it's getting the right photo, if that makes sense. I realize it's kind of circular logic. And then of those, there's one also when he was playing with Seosin, where it's him just holding the mic and hanging it out for the crowd, singing along. That was one of those ones where I got it on the Leica and I was just astounded that I actually hit focus. It was, and then in addition to that, shooting Dashboard Confessional is also a lot of fun. Chris Caraba has, again, great energy on stage. And
For sure.
I was fortunate.
Their audience always has great energy too.
Yes. And I was really fortunate the last time they were in Dallas and I was there and able to shoot them. My buddy Joe Ortega was up from San Antonio and he's friends with them, and he was able to get me set up to shoot pretty much their whole set.
Oh, sick.
So
that's awesome.
It kind of goes back to that, like, the stress is gone and I can just kind of take this at my own pace and shoot however many rolls of film I want, and I can take my time and wait for the right moments versus just like rattling off frames and trying to get something done and hope that you don't miss the moment while you're recocking. There's so many. There's one of Oliver Sykes from Bring Me the Horizon, just like crouched down on the stage. And that one was a just like, yep, you have to get this. You cannot miss this. You have to get this. You cannot miss this. Mm-hmm. Like you kind of, you shoot gigs enough and you start kind of recognizing when those moments are happening. And eventually the pressure of it kind of fades. And like, that mantra is kind of going through your head of like, don't F this up, dude.
Yeah.
But you know you can get it. You just have to be cool about it. It's like there's one photo I took at Warped Tour several years back of Jordan Buckley from Every Time I Die jumping, I'm pretty sure, off of his cab. And I did it on the Pentax. And it was one of those moments of like, you just kind of see him working his way up his gear. And you're like, he's going to jump.
This is going to happen.
He's jumping. He's going to jump. Just wait. Don't go too soon. Like it's kind of those moments of like letting yourself be patient.
Right.
So that's probably one of my favorites too.
Oh, man, see, you'll have to include these when you send.
Yeah.
When you send the file over, attach a couple of these so we can let our listeners,
because
this is a listening podcast. We want them to be able to like flip through some of these and see some of these photos that you're talking about.
Yeah, for sure. Oh shit. And I'm sitting here like going through my Instagram because that's how else am I going to jog up memories and like think of stuff that like, I love that photo. And I came up on one of Winston McCall of another Australian band, Parkway Drive. And it's just not the typical photo I think one would think of when you think of this band. They're hardcore metalcore metal band, and it's pretty much just him with his head down, stopping and taking a breath, with a lot of directional light coming from behind him, just giving a lot of tonality. And there's just this great depth to the photo and like in the shadows, and you're not losing anything on his face, even though it's like half his face is just completely lit and the other half is very much in shadow. I love photos like that that are just kind of, they don't necessarily make the most sense for what the band is. Like I love the getting the metal photo or the metal band, and it's just like everything feels so peaceful. Like I love that juxtaposition or dichotomy or whatever.
That's funny.
And as I'm sitting here thinking about it, there's two photos from this 1 year of Warped Tour. God, what year was that?
I only shot Warped Tour once, and it was
I shot it way too many times.
Ugh, I wish
way
it was.
Too many times.
I got to do it on film anyway.
And well, this is part of why this story is so great. I went to Warped. It was 2008. it was like I'd had a few press credentials through like late 2007, early 2008. That was like my first year in college. And I was going through and just like blasting emails out to, and like MySpace direct messages to bands, be like, yo, can I have a photo pass? I've never done this before. And a few of them were very cool and gave me photo passes, and Set Your Goals and 4 Years Strong, I think, were two of the first bands to ever give me photo credentials.
Nice.
And two of like my favorite bands to this day. And coming full circle, I wound up getting to do some portraits with them at So What like 10 years later. Super cool.
But it's
2008, and I bought a Canon EOS 1N film body with the intent of just like, I got it for $100 and I wanted to shoot some 35 millimeter film. And I took that along with my 30D to Warped Tour, where I had like my first like big press credential. And now in hindsight, like, I'm like, yeah, they gave those to a lot of people. Those photo pits were crowded.
Yeah.
They were tough to shoot in, but it was always good times. And I don't think there was a Warped Tour that I shot where I didn't walk away with a photo that I really liked. But this year I took photos at like one band, and I'm walking over and 303 is playing, and I go and pull up my 30D to take a picture, and it just dies. The shutter literally fails, and it's probably noon.
No.
And I think I've seen one band at this point, and the rest of the day is there. And I had thankfully thrown that EOS 1 in my backpack with a handful of rolls of film, some Provia, a lot of Tri-X. I think I had some HP 5.0, still trying to figure out. I mean, it's 11 years ago. I'm still figuring out what film stocks I like.
Yeah.
I loved Provia, but I also understood it was kind of a nightmare to shoot with, and that I was going to have to nail my metering, and that probably wasn't going to happen now that I don't have the ability to check my exposure on my digital.
Yeah.
And I hadn't quite figured out that if I am in open shade in Texas at like that time of day, I can pretty much always shoot 1/1000th f/2.4 at ISO 320. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'm not going to not shoot. I'm just going to have to like pace myself through the day. And there's two photos from that day that always stick out. There's one is Frank Carter, who used to sing for the band Gallows, and now sings for a band, I think it's called Frank Carter and the Rattlesnakes. And he went down into the middle of the pit, mic stand and all, and just posted up. And I got this shot of him from profile, just letting loose into the mic. And it was, as soon as I took it, I was like, yep, that's one, like done.
Yeah.
And then very much later in the day, a photo of Tepe from Thrice and Dustin. And it kind of goes back to that like serene moment. And Tepe's in the foreground, Dustin's in the background and blurred out. And Tepe's just playing, and it's just so absolutely peaceful looking. And it's, those two are some of my favorites, and they came about purely because of that kind of awful situation of like, my camera just died, what do I do, use the other camera. And that's like,
wow,
yeah,
that's probably another thing that has kind of pushed me down the path of shooting film at concerts, regardless of whether it's Warped Tour or a festival, or it's inside in the dark, and I'm having to just hope my exposures work out.
And that's a crazy story. I had one of the shows I shot for this artist, my camera, my digital was acting up, and it like was giving me all these weird error code. And I was like, oh my God, I don't have enough film. I only brought like one or two rolls. I don't even know. And luckily enough, it came back, but I was just like, okay, I got to put more film in my bag because like, that's my backup, you know?
100%.
So I love that like that happened to you, and like it didn't come back and you just had to do it. That's kind of crazy.
It was Canon throwing, I think it was error 99, which is the generic, something's wrong error. And I ran into another music photographer who's absolutely huge, and his work is incredible, and he's always a total legend to like talk to. But I'm like, yo, like, and he shoots Canon. I'm like, my camera's doing this, what do I do? And he's like, have you tried
send it out for repair.
Well, he was like, well, I've gotten that error sometimes. Like, I just took a pencil eraser to the, like, battery contacts, and it started working again.
Yeah.
And so I tried that, and it didn't work. I'm like, well, shit. this is what it is. And at that point, it was just like...
That's crazy.
I'm shooting film today.
I love that.
In hindsight, I love it. At the time, it was...
I'm sure you were sweating. Yeah.
Yeah. Panic.
Wow.
Jeez. Man, well, that's kind of a good segment into the next question. Okay, so we do this two-part camera question thing, and the first one is the desert island camera. Like, what camera can you not live without? Like, what would you take with you?
Quick answer.
Oh, boom, boom, boom. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah, that thing's a beast.
It is, and it's just, there are a lot of photos I loved I've taken on 35mm, and like, there's pros and cons to both systems of like, 35mm, I can take 36 photos, maybe 38 if I stretch it right.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with the Pentax, I'm getting 10, but it's just the quality of the negative, like, is, you just can't beat it. The combination of like the massive negative and then that 105, or I have the 55 f4 that I pull out once in a blue moon, and I'm like, oh yeah, wide angles are cool on this too.
Yeah, it looks so awesome. I have a 55 for my Mamiya, and it just looks so cool, like shooting 6.7 like super wide like that.
Yeah, and it just like the... And you're able to get so much detail in that depth, like, that you get with that wide lens. Mm-hmm. And it's a very cool camera that's always, probably always going to be my first response when asked that question. It's the Pentax.
Had a feeling.
Yeah.
And then the second part is the white whale camera. Is there anything that you're lusting after, something that you've wanted that you haven't had yet that... It's just like eating you alive inside.
Honestly, no. I feel like for a long time, everyone was, and I'm sure people still are, all about like the Contax 645 system, and like that made those cameras become the white whale, the great white buffalo, without like ever.
Yeah.
Really, I don't know. I just never kind of got the allure. Like for me, as soon as I picked up the Pentax, I was like, I don't really want or have need for another like big medium format camera. And then I've got a Leica M6 that I absolutely love to shoot with. And yeah, there's not much out there, especially on the film side. Like that itch is very much scratched.
I
mean, those are great choices.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not bad cameras. They're phenomenal cameras. It's just, I don't see a need to hit my gear collection.
What about any like point and shoots? You ever?
I never really got into them. Like, no? I would probably really enjoy having one, especially like with all the cycling stuff, just to have something that I can throw in a jersey pocket on like some epic day that I'm doing with friends and like be able to take pictures. But I honestly don't really know anything about any of the point and shoots, except for like one of my friends is on tour and he has a point and shoot with him most of the time, and he gets some cool stuff, but it's like the scenarios where I would use a point and shoot a lot, I can really just take my Leica. I can blend in just as much with that and take photos not as quick but pretty dang quick, and then it's a little bit quieter, you don't have the winding or anything to deal with that. So yeah, like my no real white whale cameras for me.
Anytime a guest is like, yeah, I'm good, I'm like, oh, I'm so jealous, you guys must sleep. They just sleep, you must go to bed at night just like a baby.
Yeah, it's I did just like give myself a big like 30th birthday present of an M10P because I've wanted a digital Leica for forever.
Oh, nice.
And
nice.
It's coming back from San Francisco with my wife. We decided that we were going to go up the 5 and come back down 101 and PCH and go through Big Sur and Bigsby Creek Bridge and everything along that way. And it was so great, and the only camera I had taken with me was my M6, because I was like, I'm going up to San Francisco to race. When I'm not racing, I'm going to be walking around the city. I don't want to be lugging around the Pentax. I want something small that I can just like tuck away and not really have to think about or deal with. And that's what I had with me. I'm like, I would really like to have a digital version of this system. I know this is Analog Talk, but every now again, you got to shoot digital.
It's okay.
And
it happens.
Yeah. So now like I've got a kit and I forget what Ona bag it is. They're just like little tiny small one and two Leicas, a flash and three lenses in there that if I put my Pentax in, it would be the Pentax and the lens that's attached to it and some rolls of film. And it's just like, I can't, the ability to, and then being able to switch between the digital and film versions of that system are just great. It's the same thing. Reason I keep all my Canon stuff is like, I don't shoot it that much, but I love having that. I have an EOS 3 now because the one eventually died, and I love the ability to use my eye to control the AF points on the 3. And yeah, it's just, again, it's another tool that I like to use, and because that's still good glass and it's still good gear.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like rambling here.
No.
That's the point of the podcast.
I always for the people that love to just listen nerd out about this stuff.
That's the eye control AF is like, it's the biggest disappointment that does not exist on any camera anymore. That's currently in production. I don't think. I think maybe the Elon 7 still has it if they're still making those.
That's what I have, the Elon 7 NE, the Canon.
Yeah.
And I never got the hang of the eye focus thing, though.
I took it to Warped because that seems to be a great place to try out and prove a camera. And first band of the day, I think, was the story so far. And their singer, Parker, came on stage, grabbed the mic, and just like was running full gas, and there's literally no way I would have gotten it composed the way I wanted it to with the AF point actually hitting focus without that eye control. Like,
yeah,
I just like,
I'm gonna mess around with it more.
Yeah,
experiment.
It took a lot of calibration, like for 3 or 4 days beforehand, before it actually started picking up my eye consistently and just going where I wanted it to look, like go.
Yeah,
but now that it's like set up, it's the best. Like,
It's a great concept. Just look where you want, look where you want the focus.
Yep. And then if that doesn't work, you can still manually control the AF point. Mm-hmm. Like I'd much rather be doing that than have the, like, every AF point is active and it's just going to kind of guess based on what algorithm Canon put into the camera. I definitely have always liked the ability to just look and focus on what I want to be my focal point and go. And I think that's part of why the Pentax is the go-to for me, is because that it's just such a big image that can focus pretty much anywhere on the ground glass. And then it's probably a reason why the Leica is still a little bit of a struggle for me, is because I can't.
Frame lines are a pain in the butt.
It's not even the frame lines. It's the it's the fact that you always have to center compose to focus and then recompose. The frame lines I've actually kind of grown to love, because it's like, okay, as long as I don't mix these up, I'm good to go. like being able to be like, oh yeah, that, let me shift this framing just a smidge, because now I can get that in the background to kind of get the depth.
Good answer. Yeah.
Awesome. Great answer.
It makes me want to send you a point and shoot though. Like, because point and shoots are my jam. I love my point and shoots. But anyway,
eventually, I think one will find its way to me. But I just need to know what I'm looking for, other than trying to snag some contacts that everyone in the world is trying to get.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is cool. This is great, Casey. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Yeah. So where can everybody check you out? Website, Instagram?
Instagram is at Casey Lee Photo, spelled just like that. There's no spaces or dots or anything like that. Website is CaseyLeePhoto.com. I have a Twitter and it pretty much is dormant, so don't even bother. Yeah, that's pretty much where I'm at. Website and Instagram.
Cool. Timothy, what about you?
Guys, you can find me at Instagram at Timothy Makeups. I also make film photography related YouTube videos. Head over to youtube.com, go to the search bar, just search Timothy Makeups. You'll find a bunch of stuff over there. And Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, although it's kind of dormant a little bit too. Sorry, guys. And we are Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. We have a Facebook page and a really rad group you can join and share photos and share articles and chat and talk and hang out. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome, Casey. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks, Casey.
We had fun.
Thanks, guys.
All right, everybody. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.
All right, first off, we want to thank Casey for being on the show. Casey, thanks for carving out the time and chatting with us. It's a lot of fun getting to pick your brain with all your music photography and your portraits and all that interesting, fun stuff. Thanks, Casey. Guys, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we are now releasing the show a day early over there. It's going to be released on Tuesdays. And we also have a bunch of other fun stuff over there. Prints, buttons, all kinds of fun stuff. Just head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. And yeah, that's going to wrap it up for this week. And we will see you next week with an all-new guest. See you, guys.